comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Smith Show. There we go. On the radio side, they were hearing silence and just barely hearing audio, but welcome. We got that little problem fixed. But I'm delighted to be here, and I'm glad you're here. You could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate that. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. Let me remind you quickly about the K-Files. If you haven't subscribed, do it. It's free. There's no reason why you should not be getting it. And just subscribe and then click that little link that you'll get to activate your subscription. And then you will be getting it. You know what we say, if you're not getting it, you're just not getting it. Last night, we talked about channeling. And I've been a little bit surprised. I really anticipated that my inbox would be flaming today. But I've been a little surprised because we really haven't gotten much negative email at all. Even though I know that a lot of the things that I said and that were said by other people who called in and who sent flash messages for those who are ardent believers in channeling, it would be a bit disturbing. And I really expected a lot of negative email, but we haven't gotten it. I'm not inviting it, but I mean, I'm just a little bit surprised. I don't know. Maybe there are not as many who really buy it as I thought. Maybe. Or maybe after listening to the show, they changed their minds. I don't know. Well, tonight, we're going to dive into the world of the mystical. We're going to be talking with Lasha Siniuk, who is a syndicated astrology columnist. She's been a guest on the show before, and we've had a lot of requests to have her back on the show. So she is back with us tonight, and I'm delighted that she is. And we're going to be talking about something she just barely mentioned the last time she was here, and that is, as the Earth passes through this galactic medium, sort of the equator of the galaxy, as the Earth passes through that, what actual changes can we expect here on terra firma? So that should be pretty interesting. And we'll talk a little bit about astrology in general, a little bit, just to make sure that we understand how all this stuff works. So she'll join us right after this break. It's a delight to have her back with us. If you're not a member yet at Kevin Smith Show, be sure that you click that join button. And join, it's not but $7.50 a day. That comes out to $7.50 a month. That comes out to 25 cents a day. And I'll see you on the other side of this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and this is Kevin Smith. As I said, my guest this evening is Lasha Siniuk, and she has been my guest before. it happens that she also is a member here at the Kevin Smith Show, and we're delighted for that. But I'm also delighted to have her back with us because, you know, when she talks about astrology, she talks about astrology with her feet planted firmly on the ground. You'll see what I mean. If you missed that first show, you'll see what I mean in this show. Lasha, welcome back.
Hi, Kevin. It's great to be here.
I hope that didn't offend you, what I said about you talk about astrology with your feet planted firmly on the ground.
No, that's the best thing you could say about me. I'm an old school astrologer.
One of the things that, you know, I when we talk about astrology, you said old school astrologer. There's a lot of different types of astrologers. There's a lot of different views and perceptions that astrologers have about astrology. But one of the things that was said to me by a previous guest on this show several years ago was, I asked the question, I said, okay, do you think that the stars really direct and order our lives? And he said, well, indirectly, he said, the way this works, and I want to get your opinion of this, okay? He said, the way this works is the movements of all of those heavenly bodies out there affect the energies that are coming in to you here on Earth. Your place, determined by when you were born, is sort of like your frequency. And there are times when your frequency is more in tune with the energies that are coming in, and times when your frequency is out of tune or out of phase with those. And so by knowing that and being able to plan what you do according to when you're more in tune and when you're not, then you order your life for more success. So what do you think about that explanation?
Well, it's a good one, Kevin, but it's still a little bit, a little bit mechanical for me.
Mm-hmm.
The way I look at it and the way I've come to know astrology is that it's an inner landscape. The cosmos is an inner landscape. And if you, like, for instance, if you think about a clock, you know, everything seems to be based on the number 12. Bear with me here for a minute.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be based on the number 12. You know, there's 12 hours, there's, you know, 12 months of the year, there's 12 signs of the zodiac. You know, the 12 hours are very much like, you know, day-to-day time. Mm-hmm. You know, 12 hours of light, 12 hours of darkness, that kind of thing. 12 hours of the month gives us the season. And what I like to think of as 12 signs of the zodiac give us psychological time. And that's how we have to realize we fit into a mesh. We fit into a matrix that's based on the number 12. Certainly this universe is based on the number 12. The cosmos is actually an inner reflection of what's going on. I mean, I know it sounds very strange, yet there are, you know, big rocks out there floating around, but it really is a function of the mind. So when you're reading astrology, you know, a lot of people look at astrology and they think of horoscopes in the newspaper, and so do I. I mean, I write them, you know, but that has nothing to do really with real astrology. Real astrology is ancient, ancient, ancient. It was practiced in the time of Enki. It was something where you understood the cosmos and you took journeys through the cosmos. It's a very different thing than most people really are aware of today. And when they first came out with newspapers, astrology became very popular because one editor wanted to do a zodiac sign for when Princess Margaret was born. And that became very popular, and they started publishing newspaper horoscopes just to kind of sell newspapers. Mm-hmm. But it has really nothing to do with how astrology works. So I don't tend to look at it from a very mechanical point of view. Yes, we can look at the planets and their circulations and their orbits and know exactly what those mean based on what wisdom has told us in the past from other astrologers and other beings that have studied the cosmos. But there's much more to it than figuring out how to make money, mm-hmm. figuring out how to do your daily life. Do you understand what I mean, Kevin?
Well, partially.
Okay.
So when you say there's much more, what is the more?
Well, you have to realize that astrology is a cosmic spiritual study. For instance, you know Solomon's Temple?
Yeah.
It had 12 steps.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually based in astrology. The first step was Aries, which rules the head. And basically, all of astrology goes down the whole body. Aries is the head, Taurus is the voice, Gemini the lungs, the upper chest, and it goes all the way down the body. It rules the whole body. And this tells us about the awakening experience. It tells us how to communicate with ourselves and release the energies in the pineal gland and how to go through this process of becoming more than just physical beings. This is what astrology is really about when it actually is looked at in the way that it should be. It's a spiritual study. You could look anywhere and find the number 12. I mean, look at the apostles, 12 apostles. If you look at, you know, Da Vinci's painting?
Mm-hmm.
If you read right across it, it's basically every planet. Those 12 apostles are the planets and the zodiac signs. So what we have here in astrology is an instruction for spiritualism, is an instruction for how to move through our own spiritual selves. I know it sounds very strange, but what we've learned is
if that it didn't, it probably would never make it to my show.
Good for you, Kevin. You know, these are very, very complicated issues. Astrology is not a simple thing. We've been taught that it's something simple. It's what's your sign, what does this planet rule, and how does it affect you, and this kind of stuff. That really is, you know, the very, very, very tip of the iceberg. Astrology, you know, all ancient societies were based in astrology, all of them. All of them were based in aligning their buildings and their landscapes to the cosmic sky. Now, why is that? Because it's an inner landscape. It's an inner reflection. We have to understand that. We're not as separate from the cosmos as we think.
Okay, so what does that do for us? I mean, we align the house with some particular sign of the zodiac or whatever. What does that do for me?
Well, it's very possible to move energies from the cosmos down to you and vice versa, as above, so below kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
When alignments are just right, and there'll be certain times of the year when the stars are also aligned with where you are, that it'll be much easier to have spiritual breakthroughs, to bring power into your life, to change your life, to become more aware of these kinds of things.
Okay. All right. So, you know, you and I talked today about we won't get into it here, but we talked about a lot of the things that are going on.
Yeah.
All over the planet. I mean, it's like the whole world has gone freaking insane.
I know.
So, you mentioned that there is a cosmic event, or I guess we could say an astrological event, mm-hmm. that's coming up. We're very near it now. In fact, it's possible we may be at the edges of it just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you thought that was going to have a big impact here on the Earth. Let's talk about it. What's the event?
Okay, first of all, I believe it's already started. I believe that the event is basically a slow and continual awakening to a new level of consciousness for humanity.
Caused by what?
Pardon me?
Caused by what?
It's the alignment to the galactic center. first of all. There's two things. There's the alignment to the galactic center. It's the first time in 26,000 years that the planet Earth will be aligned completely with its own sun, with the star Sirius, and then right through to the galactic center. That is, a lot of people believe that that is where energies can hit us directly, okay, from the galactic center, whereas there is a great deal of knowledge stored there, let's say it that way. The other event is the fact that every 11,000 years, you know, if you think of a record, you know, like think of the galaxy, our galaxy, as a record, you know, how it spins?
Yeah.
And you see the stars like that. Well, every 11 years, our planet, or our solar system...
You mean every 11,000 years?
Excuse me, right. Every 11,000 years, our solar system goes up on the lip of that edge of that record. And then every another 11,000 years, and it goes down. It sort of does this sine wave all along the edge. That's just the movement of our solar system throughout the cosmos. And just at this exact same time that we're going to be hitting galactic center is at the same time that we're switching over from being below to being above that galactic plane. So these are very, very, very strong changes of energy. This is what the Mayan calendar has been interpreted to be, to say that there's this event coming that is going to change everything. And you have to realize it's not going to be something that happens on Monday and then Tuesday it's done. It's something that's probably going to take 5 or 6 years. I believe it already started about a year and a half ago. And you're starting to see everything's beginning to polarize. You know, like when you're saying the world went crazy, it certainly has. I mean, the negative is getting far more negative and the positive is getting far more aware. It just seems to me that that's the way it's going right in sort of world events right now.
Well, I would not disagree with that. You know, that's a little bit more erudite explanation of what I was describing when I said freaking insane.
Okay, right.
But, I mean, look at the polarization, and we're not going to get into politics here.
No.
But it's so visible in politics. And the polarization, I mean, it's like, I mean, you got Democrats that'll stop talking to you if they discover you're a Republican. You got Republicans that'll do the same thing if they discover you're a Democrat.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, well, that's in this country, but that happens, that same kind of insanity is happening worldwide. It's really becoming excessively polarized.
It wasn't this way 5 years ago. It wasn't this way 10 years ago. It seems to have been speeding up, too. And you're absolutely right. It's getting very, very intense. And I believe it because the energies are changing. I believe that people are waking up. Their consciousness is now receiving more energy. And those people who can't receive it are fighting it. Do you know? I think you're seeing that. I also believe, Kevin.
So do you think they are the ones who are in such a polarized state?
Sometimes, yes. I think it's very difficult to wake up. It'll be easier for some people than it will be for others. We're all going to go through that process. The ones that don't make it, that don't wake up, I think are going to get progressively more nasty and strange. Do you know, I just see that the polarization continuing, do you know? And I also believe, Kevin, that the political system and the powers that be, so to speak, have known this is coming for a good 1,000 years. And I believe that they really would like to keep us in fear in order so that we don't wake up. It's possible that if you keep someone in fear, they won't make spiritual progress. They won't awaken. Because the opposite of spiritual progress is being in fear. If they can keep as many people unevolved as they can, they maintain their power. And I believe that they also think that spiritual reality and spiritual power is nothing, and the machine can replace all that. You know, machinery, inventions, technology, these kinds of things are what they're betting on is what life's all about. And I can assure you, it has nothing to do with what life's about.
What
but they're willing to fight for it.
You know, what you're describing reminds me very much of a movie called Avatar.
Oh, yes. I love that movie.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of that. I mean, you know, you've got the guy who, through machinery, through technology, becomes alive in a whole other world, in a whole other reality.
Yeah.
And while he looks similar, he's very, very different. And in this other reality, there are people doing things that the technology could never do.
Yes.
And so it sounds to me like you're describing an Avatar world in a way, where you have people that are going to wake up and they will have these knowledge, this knowledge and these skills and this ability. There are people who are not going to wake up, and they're going to be dependent upon the machinery and the technology. That they, but what happens in Avatar is a war between the two.
Well, it's been my experience that the spiritual side is far, far more evolved than the material side. When this polarization continues, I think there will be people that are just so mired in the materialistic that they can't break free from that mindset. Mm-hmm. And they will eventually die out. It may take generations, you know. But we are moving towards a different awareness as a human culture. And we're fighting our own selves with our own feelings of materialism to get rid of it. You know, that I think that's really what's going on. And well, Avatar is a very interesting movie. Everything in that movie was a metaphor for spiritual progress and spiritual movement. Even that tree where all the souls were is like the tree at the center of the universe. And it was really quite an incredible movie. You know, a lot of movies are, they've got so much in them. Whoever wrote them knows what's going on. You know, they really do. Like, for instance, I've been watching these movies. I know it sounds silly, but you know these X-Men movies? Everything in that movie is about enlightenment. All those different skills that each mutant has, like take the word mutant out and put in enlightened, awakened. These are the kinds of skills that people who have studied spiritually for many, many millennia have developed. You know,
all right,
and
we,
I know it sounds
have
strange
to,
because these things are kept very secret.
We have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Lasha Siniuk, who is joining us from Canada. And Canada is a wonderful, wonderful place. I have visited there. It is a great place. Got a lot of friends there. I suspect I may have enemies there, but I don't know about them. I don't focus on them. But it's great to have her with us, and we're talking about her specialty, which is astrology, and we're talking about sort of the mystical side of astrology, and what she sees as kind of, you know, practical feet-on-the-ground application of it for what we are going to be going through, and you said you think it already started about a year and a half ago. You know, just a few years ago on this show, two or three years ago, we could not have had the conversation that we had last time or this time. Well, we could do it, but there would be absolutely nobody in the audience, and they just didn't care. But very, very rapidly, about 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half, as you say, things began to change, and people began to be very much more interested in what we're talking about, especially tonight. And I think it's because they began to focus more on what was being said about the Mayan calendar. Now, last time we talked about this Mayan calendar a lot. And I've talked about it a lot on this show many times, that I don't view the Mayan calendar as giving us the date, the drop-dead date for planet Earth. It's the end of an age, and then a new one begins. And you're describing for us the process of that new age beginning, I think, aren't you?
Yes, and what we have to realize, too, is that the Mayan calendar describes an inner journey. It is about time and that kind of stuff. It is also a calendar, but it's an inner journey that it's talking about. It's talking about a movement of the soul and how to become evolved and where we move from and to and how these cycles work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Mayan calendar is about. I really believe, Kevin, that the powers that be, if you want to call them that, I mean, they will use anything to try and create fear because they're grasping at trying to stay in power. The Mayan calendar is about learning. It's about a spiritual journey. Do you know? It's also, they also used it as a calendar, but it doesn't have an expiry date of the planet Earth stamped in it. It never claimed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it talks about a great harvesting of souls, if you want to call it that. And yes, that's exactly what will go on. We will become different. We will become better than we are. We will develop skills and abilities and
okay,
ways
so
of
what, seeing. What makes you think that's going to happen to us?
Because it's been happening to me, Kevin. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say it often. But I have been going through a process for about the last 2 years. Well, you know, all my life, really, I've been going through it. But the last couple of years have been so intense and such changes so quickly that I just really know that that's what's coming.
What is there? Now, I'm asking this. I'm not broadsiding you here. I'm asking this so I can honestly get your answer.
Yep.
Okay. What is there that would indicate to us that all this extra energy coming from the center of the galaxy, when it we line up and bang, we get the full bore shot from this energy. What is there to indicate that it's going to cause us to evolve as opposed to fry us to the ground?
In other words, why to be hopeful about it?
Well, I mean, if we're getting all this extra energy from the center of the galaxy, we already know just with the energy we have, you have to be careful when you go out in the sun for very long because all that energy will cook you.
Another lie, Kevin. The sun is one of the things that will help you. It always has been.
Yeah, well, you know, you get too much ultraviolet light, and then you get sunburned, and you get that too often, and you get cancer from it.
Oh, wow, they have a lot of ways to scare us, don't they?
Well, you think that doesn't happen?
Not as much as they would like us to believe. The sun and the earth and your own soul is the only holy trinity you need. In order to journey from this planet to the outer reaches of space, you have to go through the center of this planet in a meditative state, in a highly evolved state. You travel through the center of this planet. You travel through then through the center of the sun. Then you go through the center of the star Sirius. This is how it's done. The sun holds incredible wisdom in it. Incredible. And so does the Earth. The solar system is really like any solar system is something that cradles the consciousness. And it's like it's kind of like a nursery, you know. We're here experiencing a physical body because that's what we need to go through. And in order to evolve, we have to evolve from the inside out, you know. In order to go up to another dimension, another level of experience, mm-hmm. and leave the physical behind, we have to learn these things. We have to earn it, You know, we have to fight for it.
But haven't you ever been sunburned?
Absolutely. I don't tan. I stroke.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what I'm talking
about. I'm as pale as pale can be.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I'm glow-in-the-dark white. I'm almost fluorescent. I do not tan either. But what I'm saying is, in the same way that, you know, we go out in the sun and we get sunburned, mm-hmm. What is there to say that something more intense isn't coming when we line up with the center of the galaxy?
Oh, it is. But I don't think it's something to be afraid of. If you're afraid of the light, it might burn you, in a sense, spiritually.
No, but I'm talking about physically. I mean, like, okay. I'm sitting here in the house, we line up with the center of the galaxy, and the next thing I know, the roof bursts into flames. I mean, why should we think that's not going to happen, and only spiritual things will happen?
I guess it's a choice, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. That's why I asked.
I think the sun is very much brighter than it's ever been before. I started to notice it in the late 80s, mid to mm-hmm. late 80s. I noticed the sun was different. It put out a different energy. And it seemed like, I remember before then, the sky seemed to be such a deep blue. And now it's almost paper white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, I started to notice it changing in the mid-80s. And I thought, this is different. What's going on? And yes, the sun is changing. As energy comes from the center of the galaxy to the sun changes as it goes through this process too. And then it will be changing back. You know, like it's going through something as well. It's evolving. So you're seeing the sun get hotter. I think the powers that be, or brighter, and I think the powers that be want to scare us to keep us away from the sun. Because the sun holds so much knowledge and so much wisdom. There's a reason why most ancient cultures worship the sun.
Okay, tell us the reason.
The sun is a living being. The sun is a consciousness. Every planet is a consciousness, and certainly the sun is too. And it's like where you have to go to understand. To learn, to grow, to move. When you start to understand the energies of the sun and of the earth, and you use them in your own life, and you use them in your own spiritual self, you change. You really do. You know, you see these ancient Egyptian things where they have the rays of the sun coming down, you know, mm-hmm. On the pyramids. You know, this isn't just someone sort of sitting out in the sun enjoying themselves. This isn't someone out there getting a tan and they've carved it in stone. This is them receiving the wisdom of the sun. And it is very, very possible to do that. I think that's been hidden from us for many, many thousands of years.
So why do the big dogs on the porch not want us to know about this? Why would they keep this from us?
I think to maintain control, I think to have a population to feed off of, I think just sheer arrogance that they think that the physical is more important than wisdom, and that they're going to prove it, you know, by building the best machine or whatever you want to call it. You know, it's they're banking on everything being less ethereal than it really is.
One of the things that I heard people say who came here to the United States from other countries, mm-hmm. and then one of the things that I noticed once I lived for a number of years in other countries and came back, is that when you get here, you know, everybody all over the world, they think, oh, if I could just get to the United States, you know, I'll make more money, I'll have freedom. And what they don't understand is you might make more money, but everything costs more here too. Furthermore, you just stepped into the gears of a machine when you get here.
Absolutely.
And lots and lots of folks step into those gears and get ground up by the gears. And, you know, it's not at all like what they dream that it will be. You know, people were amazed overseas when they talked about, well, you make so much money. And I said, yeah, but do you have any idea what I pay just for a telephone? You have any idea what I pay for a very small place to live? And then when you tell them, it blows them away. They can't believe that it costs that, but it does. And so, you know, if you make $1,000 a day, but it costs you $2,000 a day to live, you're broke.
Right. Right. So. You know, it, the thing that yeah, that's very interesting from a mystical point of view, Kevin, money is like a magical spell. Do you know, like you have a, you know, a magic spell where there's an incantation and something magic happens, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's called a sigil. And what it is it's a written down magic spell. That's what money is. It's a magic spell on paper. It channels energy. And everybody knows who studies mysticism or who knows mysticism knows that the purpose of any sigil is to transfer power to the strongest wizard or the strongest magician or the strongest mystic. That's what money does. You know, it reminds me of, you know, in the Bible where they came to Jesus and they said, are you going to pay your taxes? They were trying to trick him.
Yeah.
You know, and it was at the time when they had first done these Roman coins where they'd stamped the image of Caesar into the coins.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did, you know, they wanted to trick him to say, I'm not going to pay my tax, and then they'd arrest him for being, you know, a non, like a, you know, a bad person.
Yep. You know what we have to do, though? We have to get the rest of that story on the other side of this break because I can't stop it. It's on the way. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Lasha Siniuk, and she is a syndicated astrology columnist. And amongst the various astrologers that I have talked to and interviewed, I find her to have her feet very firmly planted on the ground. And what an interesting thing it is to get her views on these things. But we do have to step away for a break. And when we come back from this break, we'll continue talking with Lasha. Also, we are going to open the phones later in the show, so get your fingers ready. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking with Lasha Siniuk. Lasha, when we went away for break, you were about to use the example, you're talking about money being a sigil, and you were about to use the example of when they came to Jesus and said, are you going to pay your taxes? And we got cut off by the break.
Okay. Yeah, what I was wanting to say is that when he was asked to pay his taxes, they were trying to embarrass him so that they could arrest him and this sort of thing. And he held up one of these coins, one of these golden coins that they had, the first time they had stamped the picture of Caesar into the coin, and he held it up for the people there. I think there was a little crowd there. And he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. And for me, what that meant is that, you know, the picture of Caesar might be on your money, but the picture of God is on your soul.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at that. Yeah.
The image of God is on your soul. And the image of money is on a man. Give it to him. Give him his own image back. He wants materialism. Give it to him.
Yeah. Cool. All right, so as we pass through the galactic medium, are our taxes going to go up or down?
They will definitely go up. So that the rich people get richer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the whole thing will probably crash. You know, I really see that they're getting ready for everything to be massively more expensive. You know, it just feels that way.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're ramping up to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the one hand, we have Russia, who has just said, tell you what, all of that genetically modified corn, out of here. It's out of here. We don't want it because we found, our studies have found it causes cancer. And so they've dumped it. Okay? No more GMO corn for Russia. So you would think, well, that means there will be a little bit of a surplus in the corn, right? But what they're saying here is, well, we had such a hot summer and so many of the crops died. You know, the price of corn is about to go through the roof, even though the demand is down.
Funny.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know another thing I find very frightening is I've heard some news stories lately about the grass in, that the cows are eating down in Texas has arsenic in it, and the, and some of the cows were dying.
Yeah.
And there's arsenic in the rice in China, mm-hmm. and they think, or it's been speculated, that it's these genetically modified products that after a certain time the seeds turn into arsenic.
Yeah. Well, that is what they determined from that grass in Texas. That was the scientific determination.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah. Or at least that's what was reported. And, yeah. So, I mean, you know, there used to be a commercial on television. It's not nice to fool with Mother Nature.
But, you know, Kevin, at the end of the day, do you really think Mother Nature won't win? Of course she will.
Yeah. You know, and so, I mean, a river always returns to its banks. You can divert it for a while, but eventually it wins. And so when we pass through this galactic medium, and we've already begun the journey through it, apparently, aside from people just, we can just in sort of an ambiguous way say they're waking up. But apart from that ambiguity, what does that mean? I mean, they wake up. I mean, I do admit, and I say it on this show, that most of the world's population is comatose. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they wake up. And then what? What does that mean?
I think we're going to return to the state that we really are, our natural state. And we'll do it slowly. It's not something that's going to happen quickly. But waking up means different abilities to perceive, different awarenesses.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, do you know, for instance, you know, things like, you know, they talk about remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's capable of doing that in their natural state. Do you know, telepathy is very possible. In fact, very probable. I think it's the probably the way we used to communicate. Do you know, I think... you know, remote viewing. I think we're going to actually, our bodies are actually going to be less physical. I know it sounds crazy, but I think there's things are going to change a great, great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, bilocation. I think people will be able to bilocate, and that doesn't mean necessarily sending your body to another place. It means sending your consciousness to another place and communicating with people that way, backwards and forwards in time. Time is not as linear as we, in our former awareness, have known it to be. I think things are going to change very, very... it'll be the difference, like, you know, in the last century when they didn't have technology, and now we can go in an airplane. It'll be that dramatic. It'll be a completely different awareness.
I am old enough to remember when, why are you laughing?
Because I'm old too.
I'm old enough to remember when commercial airlines were propeller driven planes. Propeller, you know, they weren't jets, they were propellers.
Yeah.
There weren't that many of them, and there weren't that many people who could afford to fly. And there was no TSA.
Yeah. It's amazing that what technology has distracted us to in mm-hmm. the last 100 years. You know, my grandmother was till the end of her days was astonished that you could have a show in your living room. You know, a TV. Uh-huh. Like you could sit in your living room and watch a show.
And I'm old enough to remember when most people didn't have TVs, and those who did had black and white.
I remember that when mm-hmm. they came out. Yeah. They were huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you're saying that we're going to be seeing, on the spiritual side of things, developments that are as drastic as what we've just described in technology.
The veil is going to be thinning, yes. I think we're going to be able... You know, do you know in the in biblical things where they describe... the dead rising
yeah.
from the dead at
mm-hmm.
the end of times?
Mm-hmm.
I think that just means we're going to be able to see people that have died. I don't think it means... I think we're going to be able to see into other dimensions. I don't think it means...
Well, there go the ticket sales for I See Dead People.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kevin, there's so many other dimensions that exist right here, right now, and people don't see them because our awareness is attuned a certain way.
Well,
I believe that's changing.
Even our physical senses are tuned to only certain wavelengths of things. We've used this example so many times, but it's so apropos. None of us see X-ray, but they're around us all the time. None of us see infrared or ultraviolet, but it's around us all the time. Everybody that's listening to me right now, everybody that's watching me on our TV channel, there's ultraviolet and infrared light all around everything you're looking at, but you can't see it.
Absolutely.
But it's there. And, you can see it if you have certain technology that is tuned to that and translates it to the frequencies you can see.
Right.
But otherwise, you can't see it with the naked eye, but
no.
It's there.
And isn't it interesting, too, that lately, recently there's been these sounds coming from the earth, or people hear them all around?
Yeah.
You know, and there's been, waves of fireballs going through the air and stuff.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to see things on a different level. That those sounds are the meridian lines changing and the deep energies within the earth changing. And when some people have said that they hear these voices. Yeah, they do. That's the consciousnesses of people on this planet that they're hearing.
Dead or alive?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Probably more alive than dead, because when you're alive, you're sort of mired in the physical here. From the ethereal point of view, you might be elsewhere if you're mm-hmm. if you're dead, or you might be in the process of being reborn.
Okay. So we're hearing, are people that are hearing these voices as, I've never heard them before, and then they hear these sounds from the earth, and they're hearing voices out there.
Mm-hmm.
These are living consciousnesses. I'll
yeah.
get it said in a
it's
minute.
Our minds. It's we're hearing our each our own minds.
That could be scary.
Yeah. Well, if we weren't aware, it could be. If we weren't more evolved, it could. Well, be.
I don't know. I don't care how aware you are. If you hear my mind, it'll scare you. The more aware you are, the more scared you'll be.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Well, it does say, what comes on the earth at that time will frighten everybody, right?
Yeah.
Your heart has to be ready. Your heart has to be strong enough to go, to evolve, to see these things, to be aware of them.
All right. We'll step away for break. We'll be back right after this, folks. So hang in there. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Man, I like that song. I would play it more often, but there was one point in history where I played it almost every night. I love that song. Anyway, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. To those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, my sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away for the first hour, and my most sincere hope and wish and desire that you never suffer that tragedy again. We're talking to Lasha Siniuk tonight. She is a syndicated astrology columnist. And very interesting to talk to, although she talks about subjects that a lot of people, I think, would classify as woo-woo. She doesn't talk about them in a woo-woo way. And makes it very down-to-earth and very practical, where people who are kludging along, like me, can understand it. And I appreciate her for doing that. We will open the telephone lines here in just a moment, but Lasha, I've got at least one more question for you here. So we'll put your incredible mind to work on this, okay?
Oh, dear.
All right.
Kevin, I'm nothing special, please. First of all, I love it that you called me woo-woo. I love that.
I didn't. I said, I did not. If you're going to quote me, quote me. I said you talk about subjects that some people would consider woo-woo, but you don't talk about them in a woo-woo way.
Right. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway. Okay, so look, we go through this galactic medium, and the changes are already underway. And they really hit crescendo when we hit that, we hit the bullseye point where everything's lined up. And then, as we know, the Earth, as you described, bobs up and down. You know, it moves up to the top above the galactic medium, then it starts its journey back down. Now, as we start back down, can we expect an equivalent devolution?
No. You see, Kevin, I think we're at the bottom of it now. I think we're on our way up.
Okay, but when we get there, and then it starts back down, mm-hmm. as it continues its movement, when it starts back down, can we expect a reciprocal devolution?
Yes.
Ooh.
I think so. 11,000 years from now,
mm-hmm.
there's a shift, there's a change. And I think that this is the way things evolve. Those that can evolve, each cycle do. You know, those that can become aware are given a remarkable opportunity to become aware at such times that we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
And we begin going back up the you know, I believe that in ancient Egypt and in the ancient cultures, we were far, far more advanced than we are now. And by the way, I believe that the ancient Egyptian pyramids were there long before the Egyptian people. I think we're talking about something very ancient.
So left over from a previous Mayan age.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well, not necessarily Mayan age, but a previous age of people.
Okay.
I think this has been going on for a very, very long time.
Okay. Well, I do too.
Yeah.
The evidence, the actual physical forensic evidence is that the Sphinx and the pyramids, the Great Pyramid, and its other two associated pyramids on the Giza Plateau have been there longer than the Egyptian civilization.
Yes,
and,
very much so.
So, somebody did it, and it wasn't those guys. Who was it? All right, so I said that was my one more question, but I lied, and I do that sometimes. So here's another one.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening with all of the increase of UFO activity all over the world? People that have never, ever seen UFOs are now beginning to see them. They're videotaping. There's more UFO activity than ever before, apparently. How does that play into this? What's going on with that?
Well, the veil is thinning. We're seeing more spiritual entities traveling here and traveling around. Do you know, I saw a UFO when I was a child, when I was like 5 years old. In fact, my whole street saw it. It came down my street. It was and hovered above my house,
mm-hmm.
and I could go into like detail of all the details of it, but there it was, right?
You did last time, and so let me just interject here. Folks, go into the archives if you want to hear the details of that. Go ahead.
Okay, but, you know, I begin to realize that what was happening there was a spiritual experience, not a UFO experience. I think we've got them confused. I think it's very possible for... I mean, it's going to sound very strange, Kevin, but I was trying to reach myself. Some part of my higher self that is way evolved, way, you know, centuries from now or whatever, is reaching to me. And it shows up in the form of something that my mind can grasp, like a UFO. I think that's partially the UFO experience. It's a spiritual experience. Hmm. I think that's why for many centuries it's been described as, you know, a wheel in the air, a chariot, a this. It's because it's a consciousness experience, and you interact with it. That said, I also think that there are other entities and beings that are traveling here that want to know what the Earth is like, and that travel everywhere in the universe to learn things. I think that's partly what we see too.
And okay. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. All right, we want you, ladies and gentlemen, to jump in here and join the conversation. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889 is the telephone number, and the telephone lines are open. And we have our flash message option is open for everyone who is outside of the USA and outside of Canada. You can give us a call. It will work from anywhere in the world, but also, if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you certainly have the option of using the flash message. Now, to do that, go to my website. On the website, you will see a picture about tonight's show. Just scroll down. And up above it is a link that says flash message. So if you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you may use that option or call us. Everybody else, USA and Canada, use the telephone, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin Lasha, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Hi, Brent.
And I've got a couple of questions.
Go for it.
Actually, well, first one's kind of a comment. You say the veil is thinning.
Yes.
I have noticed that a lot of strange things are showing up in the news. Not necessarily mainstream, but they're getting reported, like these sea monsters or whatever they are, that they've been extinct for thousands of years, and they show up. My thought at the time when I first heard that is that we are getting to a point where we're able to see things that have always been there, but they've been beyond our focus.
Yes, exactly. It's other dimensions.
All right. Now, here's my second question. I'm going to paint a picture for you.
Yep.
Right now we have WikiLeaks and other whistleblower organizations.
Mm.
There are people who are trying to suppress that information. In the not too distant future, there are going to be people who wake up and they will not need WikiLeaks. And the powers that want to be are going to use fear as much as they can, intimidation, to shut those people down.
So what's your question?
I'm just asking if that's her opinion as well.
Do you know, I think it's even more complicated than that, Brent. I think WikiLeaks, the guy from WikiLeaks, is a plant. And if you research his background, he was heavily involved in this strange, strange cult in Australia that was very connected to the military. I think that they use things like a magician uses a magic wand. The purpose of a magic wand is to distract people so the real magic can take place. Do you see?
Anyway.
I think that they're releasing information in bits and spurts so that they can control it in certain ways. And I think they have people that they use to do that. And, you know, even if you look at, you know, I'm really astonished by comic books. So much of what's in comic books is the actual truth. I know it sounds crazy, but a lot of these abilities in comic books and stories and these kinds of things, these are all very possible. They come from somewhere. And I think they've released this information so that when he comes upon, you know, this time of change, people will say, oh, no, that just comes from a comic book. Do you see what I mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think it's very tricky. I think they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, okay. But my point is that they're going to try to shut the people down by using fear and intimidation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're already doing that on so many levels. They've... You know, there's always this fear of war. They're destroying the water with oil and stuff. And, you know, there's this Fukushima thing. There's, you know, I mean, you know, you look at the U.S. and, you know, my gosh, since 9/11, it's been a freak show. It's been terribly frightening.
It's in Washington, yes, we know.
You know, and these things, you know, don't all happen at once for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are they so afraid of? What do they want to keep us afraid of? I believe that they want to keep us afraid of the progress we can make and how awake we can be, and when we realize how very powerless they are. You know?
That's why I call them the wannabes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think you're right, Brent. I think I really do.
Kind of like the Wizard of Oz.
Don't pay attention to the guy behind the curtain.
Yeah, the guy behind the curtain's just just an old man. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call, man.
Yep, goodbye.
All right, bye. 623-444-5889. You know, I've pushed this button twice to kill that telephone bell.
Technology, eh?
Yeah, well, it's old like me. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. Hi, Mr. Senua. I want to thank you for being a member of the Kevin Smith Show, first of all.
And, you're very welcome.
You know, you're talking about comic books and stuff. I'm not a real big reader of comic books, but in a lot of literature, it always comes down to the underlying motif is good versus bad, right versus wrong, and there's always that underlying in almost all literature.
Yes.
My question then is, if you go in these cycles, okay, and so you go, if you go back to 22,000 years, you had civilizations exactly in the same spot that we are in now. And they, if you were alive back then, you may have been saying that we're on the road to ascension. And yet, 22,000 years later, we're dealing with what Kevin said, the downside after the 11,000 up, the 11,000 down. And it always seems to be that you've never reached ascension.
I disagree. Do you know, I'm coming more and more of the mind that there will be a group of people that ascend. Do you know, and I don't know why, I just have the intuitive feeling that that's what happened to the Mayans. You know, they say their culture died out. I don't know, maybe they all just went into another dimension. Maybe that's how we evolve, we grow up.
Well, that's a possibility of the minds that I haven't thought about, that maybe the ones who do ascend really do ascend.
And I want to take the, you know, the magic out of the word ascension, because it sounds like some sort of a godly thing. I think it's just another vibration. You know, it's you know, we make it sound like some big religious thing, and it's not. It's just really natural.
Well, you know, it may be natural, but it sure as heck is difficult.
I mean, yep. Again, as all birth processes are, I think.
Well, give me an example. I mean, Kevin spoke of the generic modified seeds and Russia not using them, and yet here we are in the United States, and you can't get away from them.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you talked about the airports. I remember going to the Greater Pittsburgh Airport when I was a kid, and it was like a field day. We would go up on the observation deck and watch the airplanes, and you could just watching, and even if you saw somebody off, you stayed there for a while. And now we have to go through these scanners and stuff, and yet over in Europe, they outlawed the scanners.
Some parts of the world still have a bit of sanity.
Yeah. there are places where sanity prevails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's really strange nowadays, you know, and you have to look at the political system, and I don't want to talk about politics, but you know what? Adolf Hitler on his best day couldn't put his hands down people's pants at the airport. They just wouldn't have allowed it.
Well, you know, that whole thing's a shame. I think the comedian, the white, I forget his first name, he said his solution is that is take a couple of Viagras before he goes and then demand a pat down.
You see, Lasha, what you started.
Hey, don't blame me. I'm just woo-woo.
All right, Jerome, thank you for the call.
I'm going to leave you, and thank you, and thank you, Miss Sandwick.
You're very welcome, Jerome. Thank you.
Good Lord. All right, we have a flash message here. The telephone lines are open. I think I've got the bell turned off. But, well, I can always push it a third and fourth time. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. And we have a flash message here from Leonardo in Puerto Rico. Hi, Kevin. Very interesting show tonight. Please ask your guest if Sirius is Zion.
No. No. Sirius is the gateway to leave the galaxy. Mystically, when you leave the planet, you have to, it's a very involved process. You have to raise up slightly above the planet, and then you decide whether you're going to feel fear or love. If you choose love, you go into the center of the planet through the Earth, and you come out the other side. It's a very involved process. I have it described on my website, I think, this week. And then you go through the center of the sun. That takes us out of the solar system. Then we can leave the solar system. Then we're free. We can leave that doorway. The next place we travel to, if we want to leave the galaxy, is we go to the planet Sirius. And we have to travel down. Sirius is a very ethereal planet. It's populated by billions of entities, but they're not in physical bodies. They're non-physical entities, and a lot of what Sirius is very gaseous and very unusual kinds of energies. But at the very center of Sirius is this beautiful liquid crystal, purple-blue vibrancy, and you travel through that, and then you can leave the galaxy. This is how it works. This is how space travel is done. And it's been done that way for millions of years, and it'll be done that way for millions of years in the future. It's not going to be done inside a tin can with a big flame at the end of it. Do you know? This is not true. It's Sirius is not Zion. Zion is more an understanding of a place where, like, you're going to be reborn, you're going to have a re-evolution kind of stuff. It's more of a religious concept. You know, I'm talking about the actual ethereal nuts and bolts, this is what you experience when you evolve kind of concept, not a religious thing.
Have you left the galaxy?
Pardon me?
Have you ever left the galaxy?
Yes, I have.
Where did you go?
It gets complicated, Kevin, but what happens is there is a great sensation of folding and almost as if you're turning inside out.
Uh-huh.
And there's this sensation of your seeing through the top of your head. Your head kind of opens.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that you perceive, you can look down and clock and look around, and you can see the galaxies, you know, like you can see them.
Mm-hmm.
There they are, and it's not black space. There's different colors. You know, I think the idea of it being black is, I don't know why we see it that way, but that's not the way it is. Then what I experienced is that I went to a place where there was a great, the best way I can describe it is a huge, massive pillar of power. And it was, you know, made of light and fire and all sorts of things. And it had this rushing feeling to it. There's a lot more to this experience that I can explain, but it's very...
Well, what we need to do is do another show and just kind of focus on leaving the galaxy with Lasha Sihanouk.
Okay. And what I want everybody to know, too, is that there's the Ark of the Covenant. I know you had a show on this just recently.
Yeah, let me say to our caller, just hang on. We will get to you in just a moment. Go ahead.
I wanted to say that the Ark of the Covenant is not a device, it's not a weapon, it's not a golden box. It is a mystical experience that you have. I had this experience where I was being lifted up by these two beings, one on either side of me, and they were golden color, and they had wings, and they took me to another place, another realm, and you have to realize that the color gold to the unconscious mind equals safety. That's why gold is so precious. It's not because it's a metal. I mean, the physical earth reflects it in a metal too. But anyway, I was taken to this place and I started to... These beings did not make eye contact with me. They just knelt on either side of me very gently. And really soon I began to sort of move through this misty level, this field of light, and it was swirling in this amazing way, and I was moving as if on a bar, like on some sort of movement, and I came to this huge pillar of power and energy just flowing upwards. And at that point there's a decision that you make. You either return or you go in. I mean, it's up to you. And you reach out your hand and you enter into it. And my God, Kevin, everything that you've ever been, everyone that you've ever been, every lifetime that you've ever had on any planet in any universe is there and accessible. You just, it's very expansive.
This is I don't know if I can take that. The one I am now just scares the living you-know-what out of me. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brett from Georgia.
Brett, now Brett, we have a break that's coming up in about 42 seconds. Can you hang on through the break?
Absolutely.
We will get to you first thing up after the break. Lasha, you got about 30 seconds to wrap up.
Okay. What I wanted to say is that experience is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark, the vehicle of movement through that light, the Covenant, is people who have had this experience. That's all it is. It's a movement of the soul. It's not a box that spews fire out of it and kills people. This is how they've tried to create fear.
Yeah, but you know that box that spews fire out and kills people makes great special effects for the movies. I saw that. All right, we have to step away for a break. We will be back.
To the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest this evening, Lasha Sihanouk. And Lasha, we have a caller online. I believe you said your name is Brett and that you're from Georgia, I think. Is that right?
That's right.
All right,
and,
Brett.
I'm sorry that I tuned into the show a little late this evening. I normally tune in on time, but when I started hearing about y'all's topic, it literally made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I've been experiencing some things that I thought I've been going crazy. I don't know if you want to say shadow people or just images, especially in the clouds.
In the clouds.
It's been quite strange. There's an experience that I had about 6 months ago that just kind of rattled me to my core. I consider myself to be a sane person, but I was lying in bed one night and it literally felt like there was a hand placed on my forehead. And it was almost as if my spirit was brought to the surface.
Wow.
If you can understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
And everything seemed, you know, in my life, you know, all the problems and everyday stuff just seemed just so trivial.
Yeah.
And I just had this incredible sense of awareness. The hand, after about 10 minutes, I mean, I was literally crying with tears of joy.
Yeah.
And the hand went back on my forehead, and I felt my spirit go back inside me. And I just, it just shook me to my core.
You are a very lucky man. That describes very closely what mystical psychic surgery is like. And I know that sounds funny, but we have teachers. We all do. We all go through life with teachers. And I'm not talking spirit guides like some sort of psychic ooey-ooey stuff. We have actual teachers in other realms that guide us and help us. And quite often, when they're changing something in us or they're helping us get rid of negative energy that keeps our awareness away, there'll be a hand that reaches out. Either a finger will touch you and it'll change the energy around your body. They can go in and move energies in your body. These things are very precious. And it means that you're on a spiritual path and you're probably going to be seeing things with less fear, even though you might feel fearful now. Just breathe it in and out and let it happen.
That's the funny thing, because I'm not afraid at all of these things. My family thinks I'm insane. They really do.
My family knows I'm insane.
I'm telling my wife about these things. I just kind of keep it to myself.
No, you're not crazy because I'm crazy and you're never at the meetings. You're far more sane now than you were before this experience, believe me. I know it's hard.
Yes, I really do. And I'm so glad I got to hear the show and talk to you this evening. I truly am. And
just trust your heart. Your heart knows.
I know I'm sharing it with the world, but it's really the first time I've told this story.
Well, I'm glad that you picked up the phone and called here and told your story.
Oh, I am too. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on a very special path, and don't let anyone dissuade you. You know, just, you're going to be getting rid of the fear, and you're going to be seeing things a lot more clearly. Keep it to yourself until you feel that if someone calls you crazy, you can kind of go, whatever. This is about your journey, not about anybody else's.
See, right now, it's kind of like Christopher Columbus going back home and saying, hey, guys, guess what? The world is round. And everyone around him says, yeah, right.
Exactly. Very much so.
I do have a question. Now, the people that aren't experiencing anything, you know, such as this, any type of transformation, will they eventually, or will some people experience the negative side of, you know, because there's good and evil in the world, and is that possible?
People will experience what they need to wake up. You know, the universe does everything perfectly. There's no mistakes. And what I've come to understand is that an experience that you have that's fearful is actually, like, you know, is actually a very positive experience if you were at a higher level and could see it more clearly. It would come to you as a positive experience. Do you know? So as you progress, the experiences get much more positive. But your heart has to be strong enough to see the negativity in people and to see that there's a lot of pain and suffering and evil out there. There just really is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Brent, let me ask you a question. Don't tell us the name of the company where you work or anything like that, but what line of work are you in?
I'm an air conditioning mechanic.
Mm-hmm. So this is not the sort of information that you would run across in the normal course of your daily business.
Oh, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
No. Absolutely
okay.
not.
All right,
man. Do you see, this is just the human experience opening up again. Really, it is.
Now,
nothing to be afraid of.
Let me ask, Brett, stay on the line for just a second, because I want to ask a question for you.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask Lasha this question. Is it possible that working all around, Brett, are other people who have experienced something like this, and they just don't talk about it? They like him, you know, I just don't talk about it around other people because, you know, they think I'm crazy. Is it possible that there are others like him all around him?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, people can have these experiences in their unconscious without knowing it. I mean, I know that sounds a bit strange, but when you're sleeping,
well, you're
when
a
you're
little
not conscious,
strange, you know.
These things happen too. Absolutely. Everybody's going through this on some level.
Okay, there you go, Brett. You're not alone, bud.
All right, thank you all very much.
All right, thank you for the call.
Bye.
623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Or you may use our flash message option if you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada and communicate with us that way, as Leonardo did from Puerto Rico. You said a moment ago, I know this sounds strange, and I said, yeah, but you are a little strange.
I didn't hear you, but
yeah,
did you say that?
I did. But, and I mean that really in a very real but very positive way.
I know.
The things that you say and the ideas that you talk about and all that you represent is, to someone who is totally new to all of this, very strange.
Do you know, Kevin, these things have not been spoken about before. I have to tell you, I'm a very, very old soul. And I've done this kind of work in many lifetimes. And there are times when the awareness is going to change that I can come out and speak about these things. A lot of the times people just can't hear them, but now things are more awake and people can hear them. Mm-hmm. The meridian lines have changed. The awareness is more open. People can hear it now. And you're absolutely right. You're not going to hear this kind of stuff very often. It's not, you know, there's probably a precious handful of people on this earth that have experienced this stuff. And I'm not trying to be arrogant or any of that kind of stuff. It's just the way it is. And but it's getting towards where people are going to find it on their own and experience it completely on their own within themselves. It's not going to be someone telling you some sort of spiritual religious things. You're going to experience this in a very visceral way.
Like That's Brett.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love phone calls like Brett. You know, here's mm-hmm. this guy. He's just a guy. You know, he's doing his work. He has his family and all this stuff. And he sounds like a very wonderful man, you know, just a regular guy. And he's having this otherworldly experience that's changing him. Where is that coming from? These things don't just float around and land on you. They mm-hmm. come from somewhere.
And that was my point about this is not the kind of thing you would just run into in your normal business. So it's not something you heard while you were working and you dreamed it while you slept. That's what they normally try to tell us. you know, you heard about that while you were awake, and then you went to sleep, and it was on your mind, so you dreamed it.
Right. It was all a dream.
Yeah.
And, no, it's not a dream.
Mm-hmm.
These things are very real.
Very real.
Very.
So perhaps there are others like Brett who would like to share with us their story of having experienced something like this. They're in our audience. You know, Lasha, I get email. You know, you're a member, so as a member, you can send me, you go to the contact page like anybody else, and you can send me email from our contact page.
Right.
You can go to my Facebook page and send me a private message. You can go to our members community, if you're a member, and send me a private message in there. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to get to me. And so there are, when I say email, it's from all those various different sources. It's not all just email. It's a lot of different sources, but people getting messages to me. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten more and more over the past couple of years, more and more emails from people who say, hey, you know what, like Brett, I've had this happen to me, and I don't know what to think about this. And they describe things similar, different but similar,
yeah,
to what Brett from Georgia described. So I know he's not alone, and I know it's happening, and it seems to be happening more often to more people.
Yes, so, I think it's happening all the time. It's just that now we're more aware of it. And because we're more aware of it, it can be more effective, and it's happening more. Do you understand what I mean? I think they can have more of an effect on us. We can learn so much right now, Kevin. We can change ourselves and learn so much and evolve. And that's what we're being helped with. Do you know, you hear all this negativity in the world. Don't believe it. It's just the people that can't evolve and don't want to, spewing fear to try and keep everybody in their little club. You know?
Well, here's another thing, though. I also get email from people who, like, after the show tonight, I will get some email from folks who say, you know, I want that to happen. What can I do to make that happen?
Well, they've really been trained well, haven't they?
Yeah, well, why don't you answer that question for them? Well, you know what? This is a good place to keep people on the edge of their seat because we have a break coming up. One of the realities of our current plane of existence is these
you
breaks.
You sneaky dog, you.
These breaks happen. And, you know, I saw a bumper sticker one time that said something happens, you know.
Right.
It's a word
right.
I can't say on the air. Well, I'm going to come out with one that says breaks happen. So this one's coming up in 7 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with the answer to the question, what can I do to make this happen so that I can experience it? And we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and so if you plan on calling, you need to have your fingers moving as I speak, or you're going to run out of time. Lasha, what can people do? That I get that question. I'd like to know, what can I do so that I can experience these things?
Well, there's as many ways as there are people. There's no set, rigid way to approach it, except meditation is the key. You have to learn to talk to your heart. You have to learn to think with your heart. And you have to learn to go into the center of your being and understand that that's more you than you are. And you just have to start learning about yourself. You have to do self-discovery in whatever way works for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know in your heart when these things are meaningful. You know in your heart when you're really learning something. And I would encourage anybody to find whatever kind of meditation works for them, whatever kind of practice works for them, and just do it. You know, it develop a spiritual process, develop a spiritual routine. You know, some people go to teachers because they've experienced it and gone through it, and that's a perfectly valid way to go. But you make sure, you test them in your teeth like gold. You know, you make sure that those teachers, don't let them fool you, because it's very easy for them to fool you if they're not really genuine.
Okay, now let me throw this in, because we have a flash message that's asking about that.
Okay.
This is from Danielle in France, and she wants to know, you talked about there are teachers that come to you. How do you know that these are good or evil?
That's a very good question. Some of them I've known in actual physical life. They've been very evolved Tibetan lamas that have actually died and come to me in meditation. Some I've never met, but are very accomplished mystics that come to me in meditation. And, you know, you can tell because there's nothing intrusive about it. There's no instruction. There's no verbal words. There are no words in other dimensions. There are physical actions. There are hand signals and stuff like that, but everything is experiential. You don't have words back and forth. No one is going to be trying to tell you something. They're going to be maybe nudging you to awaken a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Like this man with the hand on the forehead,
uh-huh.
Enabling him to see more.
Yeah.
This was a teacher.
All right, we have a call, and this will have to be our final call for this evening. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Joni from St. Louis.
Hello, Joni.
Hi, Joni.
Hi. I'm really enjoying the program tonight, and I was thinking about how much I've changed in the last 5 or so years just through the Internet. And I think the wild card in all this is the Internet. Bringing shows and people together and discussions, and it certainly broadened my world. And
yes.
One story I'd like to share real quickly is I had a friend who did astrological readings and numbers and so forth, and she had a macular degeneration problem in her eyes, and she told me this story, and this was back in 1998, that she had an operation while she was still awake on the eyes. There were 2 doctors. One was Jewish and one was Christian. And something happened during that procedure. She either had an out-of-body experience, except she didn't describe it like that back then, and she actually saw a Jesus Christ figure. Well, the interesting thing about it is both doctors saw it too. It was all a community thing. And one doctor, neither doctor wanted to talk about it afterwards, but she did talk to them for follow-up appointments. And she said the Jewish doctor was reluctant to say anything. And the other doctor, he got tears in his eyes over the incident. This kind of ties in, you know, years later now with all of this out-of-body experiences that we're hearing about. And that's why I'm more prone to believe in what you've talked about tonight. And I just want to thank you.
You're very welcome. And what a wonderful experience that woman had. That's great. The Christ energy can manifest anywhere at any time. That's for sure.
But I don't know, after listening to Dr. Moody and some of them talk, it may have been some kind of entered in some kind of his research. I don't know. I've lost contact with her.
Ah, okay.
All right, Joni, thank you for the call. Fantastic story. Fantastic.
Yeah, wonderful.
Well, and look, we're almost out of time, so this will have to be a short answer. But in a case like that, I've heard of a lot of things like this that have happened at various points down through time. Is it that people interpret, I mean, the thing happens and one guy interprets that as Jesus and another guy says, well, no, that was Ashtar. But, I mean, is it from their backgrounds or whatever determines how they perceive what that is?
Do you know, I think partially I think so. I think so. I think if we're afraid, we see what we need to see in order to have the experience. You know, our consciousness gives us what we can handle.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that entities certainly manifest all over the place, you know, and Jesus being one of them, of course. You know, if someone needs to see some other manifestation, then another dimension of Jesus might manifest to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is not as linear and as cut and dried as you think.
Well, I certainly know that to be true, and you know, one of the things that one of the best examples, really, it's sort of in the very basic, sort of very physical existence that we have. Nobody you know is like what you know.
No.
See, I know Lasha as an astrologer and as someone that can speak about it without getting woo-woo about it and make it very understandable. Okay, but Lasha's a lot more than that. There's a whole lot more that Lasha is about than this stuff that we talked about here tonight. I've talked about it with other people. You know, I had a Jose Escamilla on the show the other night, and I said, you know, I didn't know that you were a musician, and here I find this music video with you singing in it. And, you know, everybody you know, that what you know about them, that's not all there is to know. Many, many, many levels to these people.
As there should be. You know, people that are alive are always becoming something.
Yeah, I'm becoming old. I am. It's happening every day.
People are often surprised when they find out I've had all these different occupations. I mean, I've been a poet, I've been this, I've been that, you know, and they say, you did that? You went up on a mountain and had a retreat for how many years? And, you know, like, they're just shocked because I'm just a person, you know? That was a valid experience then, and it's still a part of me, but everybody's a multifaceted entity.
All of us. And life is multi-layered. We're not only multifaceted, life is many, many, many multi-layers. And there's so many things that we are and so many things we are yet to become. Lasha, I want to thank you for being with me on the show. We're out of time, but if you will stay on the line with me for just a moment as I bring this one in for a landing, I'd like to talk with you for just a moment after the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Lasha Siniuk, and I am absolutely certain that we're going to invite her to be back with us again. It's always interesting, and she always takes us to places I had no idea we were going. It's kind of fun, kind of exciting. But she does it without going woo-woo on us. That's a good thing. Don't forget, if you're not a member, you're missing about 80%, maybe 90% of what we're doing. Become a member, because in the members community, you get it all right? It's $7.50 per month. That's 25 cents a day. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.